Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
God's will for the body of Christ is to come together by prayer and the Spirit. Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim as they discuss how God is leading us into agreement and unity through prayer. Next, right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We got some good things coming your way today. Billy Brim's here from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. She is telling us of things to come. Hallelujah.
And what God wants out of us.
And what we're
until they come.
To do.
Yes. And actually, I do hope that you've been with us the whole week. Monday and Tuesday, you can go online, I know, and you can get it because the Lord changed my subject. I was going to talk on the prophet Ezekiel and the coming things that he prophesied. And the Lord changed me that I have to share with you the new prayer assignment He gave us at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks and told me to tell people around the world to dedicate 30 minutes a day praying in tongues with no agenda. We are keeping a track of it at Prayer Mountain. And I'm going to talk to you a little more about Prayer Mountain today, and I'm going to talk to you about my life and how He maneuvered me and Gloria.
Yes.
Into the place that we're sitting here at this table today and have this voice to talk to you.
We did not have much voice.
We didn't have much of a voice. You were a cheerleader, though.
Oh, yeah, but it was for the wrong side. Go ahead.
But anyway, He did. He brought us both to Tulsa. He brought us at the same time. And that's where I first came into contact with people who really, well, I would contacted people before who knew how to pray, but I didn't know how to pray. And the Lord is so in need of you right now. He's in need of your voice and my voice speaking into the earth utterances that He can clothe and bring to pass. I'm going to read you just the first paragraph of a prophecy through Kenneth E. Hagin, Winter Bible Seminar, February 20th, 1997. We read the whole thing yesterday. You can get it online, I'm sure. But this says, speaking by the Spirit, not just speaking words out of your own mind or thinking, but speaking by the Spirit, words that are inspired by the Spirit of God, words that well up from within you out of your spirit, given to you by the Holy Spirit, these words spoken boldly bring forth great happiness.
Praise God.
So when you pray in tongues and your spirit is hooked up to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit who gives you utterance can take those tongues of men and of angels.
You pray beyond your knowledge.
Beyond your knowledge.
Even in your understanding, you pray beyond that.
And He calls them tongues of men and of angels. You might be speaking a language here on earth. You might be speaking a heavenly language. But it's a word, an utterance that God can get into the earth, and then He can clothe it. Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
Now, thinking about words and their power, just before we did this session, God reminded me of something. So this is like hot off the press. In Genesis, they got off the boat. Noah, his three sons and their wives. Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Lord told them to go throughout the earth and plunge the earth. They didn't do it. They disobeyed Him. This right here that I'm going to read you is 340 years after the flood. Chapter 11, Genesis. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. God is emphasizing speech here. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They stopped there, everybody. He told them to go throughout all the earth. They stayed in one spot. Shinar is the same as Babylon. And they said, God's talking about speech, one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower. Verse 4, they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God's will is they be scattered abroad. Replenish the earth. But they've come under the influence of a man named Nimrod. We read about him in Genesis 10. He established a kingdom. He established himself a king. God didn't tell anybody to have a king and a kingdom, but he had one.
Yeah.
He hunted the souls of men for himself. And so he's encouraged them to go to one place and build a tower and build a city. And the Lord, verse 5, came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. God started this chapter with speech. They have one language and one speech. And they're all saying the same thing. And God's going to go down there because...
And it's not much of anything that they're all saying.
It's what opposite what God wants.
Confusion is...
Yes, well, God's going to confuse it. It's not confused at this time in verse 6. They're saying the same thing. The people is one. They have one language. And they begin to do. And now nothing will restrain them, which they have imagined to do. Nimrod has them all. They've all got one speech. And Nimrod has them all saying, we're going to build a city. And we're going to build a tower. And we're not going to be scattered off on the earth because that's what God wants. We're not going to do it. But God says, let us go down there. I wanted you to get the point. Nothing will be restrained to them.
That's right.
So in verse 7, God says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. All we have to do to keep from them getting what they're saying is confuse their languages.
That's right.
Give them languages they can't understand each other. So the Lord, verse 8, scattered them upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city.
Think about it. Let's get back there a minute. Think about what the Lord's done to bring the body of Christ into agreement around the Word.
Yes.
The opposite of
opposite
being scattered
of
and saying the wrong thing. He's trained us to say the right thing that agrees with the Bible.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Which means all things are possible.
Nothing could be restrained to us
That's
if
right.
we will say the same thing.
That's right. And we say the right thing when we say the Word.
We say the right thing when we say the Word.
Praise
and
God.
There's another way.
What?
Let's turn to Acts chapter 2.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
What an exciting day we live in.
Remember that Jesus came? Went to the cross, paid for the sin, presented his blood to Jesus, to the Father. Then he walked on the earth for 40 days. And then he gathered all of his followers right there on the top of Mount of Olives. And he's going to ascend above and he tells them, you stay in Jerusalem. He's at this meeting. This is the day he's going to ascend. And he tells them, don't leave town. Verse 4. Of Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Spirit, which you've heard of me. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to them. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Actually happened about 10 days later. Oh my! 10 days from now is when the Holy Ghost came. So this is the day right now that we're doing this broadcast, which would be the day of his ascension.
Praise
Just about
God.
There.
My Jesus. Hallelujah.
Verse 8, he says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and all under the uttermost parts of the world." And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud.
Hallelujah.
Received him out of their sight. He was lifted up into a cloud, probably a cloud of glory.
Yes, I would say.
So they go to the upper room, back where they had the Last Supper, and they wait there approximately 10 days. And they are awaiting for the next date on God's calendar.
So look at that 11. It says, why you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven?
Yes.
This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I believe we'll go up in a cloud.
We'll go up in a cloud.
Glory
You're
to
right,
God.
You're right, Gloria. Hallelujah. We're going to be lifted up in a cloud.
Glory to God.
And he's coming back for us. And that day they watched him go up in a cloud.
Same way. We're going the same way.
He has just been the Passover lamb. And then they do the days of the Omer counting. They count aloud 50 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We are right now on the 13th of May. We're in the 39th day of the Omer counting. The 49th day will be Saturday, May 23rd. And in the Bible, the evening and the morning is the day. So what we call the day of Pentecost begins in the evening of Saturday the 23rd. That's the 49th day of the Omer counting. And the 50th day is Sunday the 24th. Sunday the 24th is the Pentecost. It is in Israel. It is now. The Pentecost. It is the day. We say Pentecost because 50. When the Bible was translated into Greek, 50 is Pentecost.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, so that's why we say Pentecost. The Jews call it weeks. They were to count 7 weeks plus one day, which is 50 days. So we're right here at the time. We're right here at the time right now when Jesus was lifted up. And then coming the 24th, 9 o'clock in the morning is when the fullness came. And at 9 o'clock in the morning in the 24th in Jerusalem, it will be the exact time. For us here in Central Time, it will be 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. But we're right here at the time when this happened. And so let's read about it. It's recorded for us. They're in prayer. And it's good that they were in one accordance in prayer, but that's not what they were waiting on, really. God had them in one accordance and in unity, and he's going to have us that way. But they're waiting for the day on God's calendar, the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, the 50th day. Chapter 2, Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Mm. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and he sat upon each of them.
He.
It should be he. Mm-hmm. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Gloria, they're saying the same thing. What are they saying? Look at verse 11. There were people there from all the continents of the earth, except for Australia, but for that world, that biblical world, for every continent. Asia, Europe, Africa, it's all listed here. Verse 11, they named all the countries they were from. And it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now God has a people who are saying the same thing. It hasn't happened since Babel, the Tower of Babel. He confused their tongues there, their languages. Now he's given his followers, remember it said back in Genesis, nothing shall be
Impossible.
Impossible. Nothing shall be restrained them. So he gives to his people a language now in tongues where they can all say the same thing because the Spirit is going to give them utterance.
Bypass their brain.
Bypass their little low peanut intellects and gives them a language. Now, the people in the other, from the other countries, they heard them speak in their own tongues. And they were all saying the same things, the wonderful works of God.
Praise God.
So there came what we call the former rain outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Came in Acts. Now, in James, I want to go to the book of James. And it's talking in James chapter 5 about the coming of the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 7, and it begins with the thought of Jesus coming and it ends with the thought of Jesus coming. In Hebrew, everything is in a circle. You open the circle, you teach what you're going to teach, you close the circle. That's what he did, the same thing. I didn't bring it out when we were reading Genesis, but he started talking there in Genesis 11 about speech. They were all of one language. Then he comes back and closes it and says he's dispersed their language. Now, here in James chapter 5, the first thought is the coming of the Lord. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that means farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. We know who the husbandman is. Jesus told us in the book of John, chapter 15, my Father is the husbandman, I'm the branch. I'm the vine, you're the branch. So the farmer and the husbandman is God the Father. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth is people, souls. And the Father hath long patience for it. Until, this time the he should have been translated it. Until it, the earth, receives, the ground, receives the early and latter rain. In Israel, they have a time that's a seasonal rain. They have the early rains in the fall, the late rains in early spring. Here he's saying that when the precious fruit of the earth comes forth, you're going to have the early and the latter rains together. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost is likened to rain. And the early rain outpouring was in Acts chapter 2. A latter rain outpouring, we're going to talk about it next, came in the first part of the 21st century. We call it the Azusa Street outpouring.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be good.
But before the Lord comes, the earth is going to have the former and the latter rains together. There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that has everything Azusa Street had, that has everything... Well, excuse me, first, the early rain outpouring, it has everything Acts chapter 2 had. It has everything the latter outpouring had, Azusa Street. And it's going to all be together just before Jesus comes, and it's going to bring forth the fruit of the earth.
Ooh,
it's going to be
exciting.
The early and the latter rains together.
Praise God.
Now I'm going to read that whole verse again.
All right, where is it now?
It's chapter 5, verse 7, James.
All right.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The book of James was written at the beginning of what the Bible calls the end of days. The end of days is 2,000 years long, the latter days. We're at the end of it. It's hard to be patient anymore for the coming of the Lord. But the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And it is signified by outpourings of the Holy Ghost.
And love, grudge not one against another.
No.
Don't be in strife.
No, be in unity.
Be in unity, yes.
And how can we be in unity? Primarily the Holy Ghost and love.
That's right.
And language, we can be in unity of language by praying in the Holy
Spirit,
Ghost.
Yes.
That's why the Lord told me when he was talking about 24/7 prayer, of course I'm at Prayer Mountain. He talks about Prayer Mountain, but he means the whole body of Christ. And there are some certain things, I can tell you, Gloria, that the enemy has planned against us that we can stop. And we can stop it only if we pray in unity. How can we pray in unity? We only can pray one way in unity, in the Spirit. We only can pray. You know, when Peter and John got into trouble, they went back to their own company. Mm-hmm. And their own company had a prayer there. And Brother Hagin told me one day, he said, they couldn't have all, even though there were only 120 or so of them, they couldn't have all been praying the same words. He said, this is probably an interpretation of what they prayed in tongues.
Huh. Interesting.
So the only way that we can all say the same thing is praying in tongues. And the Lord said to me, when He was talking to me about raising up this 24/7 prayer and having people commit themselves to pray 30 minutes a day in tongues, He said to me, at that time their own company was in a room, a little room, but now your own company is all over the earth.
All over the earth. Glory to God.
And we can pray.
Amen.
Can you stop these things?
Amen. Glory to God. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.